This is Future Too Bright Eric Taylor.
And I am the blonde blur Mikey Montgomery. We are the bullish trend, the Bitcoin boys.
That's one word with an I and a capital Z at the end, and you are listening to Wrestling Cheers.
Taking your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to go where you can see that troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
And welcome back to Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name, especially at the last show of AIW for 2022. This is Wrestling Cheers. We'd like to talk about things going on Northeast Ohio independent wrestling scene. We preview shows, we review shows, and sometimes we even have interviews along the way. This is a review of AIW's Jet Black New Year. I'm your host, Justin Summers, and Wrestling Cheers is brought to you by Midwest Territory. Please rate, review, and subscribe or ever listen to this fine podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, or Podbean, wrestlingcheers.podbean.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, facebook.com/wrestlingcheers, twitter.com/wrestlingcheers, and instagram.com/wrestlingcheers. Email, if you so choose, a desire, wrestlingcheers@gmail.com. Like I said, this is a review of AIW's Jet Black New Year. And of course, you have me, and this week we have returning for a while, and I think technically she's the newest member. The only member we added in 2022, we have Marcy.
Hi.
Yeah, I think the last time you were on was when we did that crossover episode.
No, we did. I think I did the preview for Apso.
Was that?
I was a part of the panel, if I recall correctly.
But was that before or after that crossover episode? Everything's like that blending. That one's after.
Yeah, because that was June, and then because it had been June and then July.
Okay, because this is a different year for AIW. Like, I don't remember when things happened anymore. Cause like normally like APSO was in the beginning of July. JLIT would be in May, or even the one time it was in June. It is completely fucked up my brain. Expect like Gauntlet for the Gold was at a different time this year.
They had to have an altered schedule.
Yeah. But anyway, happy to have you back on. I mean, like, I was actually telling Butters this, like, I haven't asked you back on for a while, only because like I knew my available schedule on top of like IW guide schedule conflicted up from time to time. And I'm like, I'm not going to ask her if I know like she's got IW guide that night. Cause yeah, like I know she's busy
all over the place for the holidays.
Yeah. But like at least now I don't have Pod Van Dam every week. So that actually opens up a day for me, like the day that I used to edit for them. So a little bit more flexible for the time being.
That sounds a little ominous, I'm not going to lie. Like you had something in the plans there that you just can't say.
Oh, no. Legitimately, when it came to finding somebody, I didn't even talk to anybody until yesterday, which was Saturday. Because with like New Year's and all that kind of shit and this show that we're talking about, like I was like, I'll see who's there and go from there. I'm like, I don't want Butters because he was just on the preview. And I think I actually did promise him because he didn't want to do it at first. Pulled the curtain back a little bit, but I promised him. I was like, well, do the preview and I'll definitely find someone else for the review. But I was just,
Here I am.
I didn't necessarily want him for the review, but that was kind of a thing of like, hey, do this. And like, I won't ask you for a little bit. And then like I've had Pam on lately a few times, Stacey on a few times. And it's like, they're all going to be on next week too. And then I like looked at the year. I'm like, Marcy hasn't been on in a little while. And
it's a special appearance.
It's like, yeah, why not have her on? Like I try to involve everybody equally. It's not always easy due to like schedules and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes it's just whatever, but
oh yeah,
I don't want anybody to think they're not valued on the show. Like there's no, the only time I would say, cause I would say there's nobody that like, if you're on, it's like, I'm at the end of the bottom of the barrel. That's if I go outside of the bubble.
It's outside.
And like, I'm pulling people that have never been on the show ever. And like, I'm just like grasping at straws. I need to find somebody to be on the show. So if Jay Gold was on this call, maybe that would be me.
I'm at least in the cusp of the bubble.
Hey, you're still a valued member. Like
I said, I'm still in the bubble, the cusp of the bubble.
But also, too, when me and Butters did the preview and I'm making Money Shot and Bang Bros jokes and like they don't go over as well, it's like, you're no fun. I need Marcy.
So I have my niche.
Because, I mean, we're going to get to it. Like, they were in a match. I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
They both were. Yeah, they were.
I don't think anybody ever got back to us on any other, like, adult-themed names outside of Bang Bros and Money Shot. Like, that's kind of it.
It's a shame. They need more of that in 2023.
People should step their game up. I mean, you want to have a name that stands out that people are going to remember? Pick something like that, because as childish as it is, we're all going to remember it. Instead of, like, all these other tag teams where you're just like, okay, cool, you're... Where was that one, like, tag team that came to the Winchester, that, like, Original Sin or something?
Don't know.
I don't know either, except I was going through old graphics, and I saw their match graphic, and I was like, oh, I even forgot they were here. I don't even remember who they are, but we remember Money Shot, we remember Bang Bros.
I mean, with a name like that, you would hope.
All right, let's get into this particular show. What were your thoughts on the change of venue, going from the Odeon to Akron?
I kind of was wishing there was like that I get to have that last show at the Odeon. Obviously, I get why it didn't. Mm-hmm. It's also Akron's way further away from me. Meanwhile, the Odeon's like a 10-minute drive.
Yeah, I always kind of feel bad for people that have to go like further.
And why do they have that clown that has the fez hat? I don't get it.
It has something to do with the Shriners, and I don't understand anything about them.
I like across from them, there's the wall of guys with fez hats on.
Like, it's... I feel like there's like a circus relationship to everything. Like, even like the entranceway, like looking at the entranceway from the inside, like... It's painted like a circus tent around it. But I'm like, do they have like circus things in here or like out there something circus? What is it?
It's a fascinating place. It's still the nicest ladies' room I've been in a wrestling venue. Funny enough, the Odeon was like at the bottom of the list. So I guess that was one improvement of the venue change.
I think this was the first time I ever saw a line for the ladies' room.
Yeah. It's, you know.
I don't know if that meant there was more ladies at this particular show or what, but one of the times I went to go use the restroom, like I kind of thought there was kind of a line, or just people just, I thought it was just people like waiting for someone else to come out.
That could be it too. It's just,
but
like, there's always times to like get people go all at once.
Yeah.
So like, if you fall into one of those times, yeah, there's always going to be a line.
I didn't officially know it was a line until I came back and there was like more people and it was in more of a line fashion. I'm like, oh, that's different. I could only imagine how bad the women's room is at the Odeon, because I knew how bad the Odeon's men's room was.
Like, it was not great. There's like at least many shows where you had like, where you either let by just someone or let someone know, hey, don't use this stall. It's a bad time.
Ugh. Is it better than class?
I don't remember being in the bathroom in class.
I thought I was in it before. But when I went to use it this past WrestleRager, I don't remember it being looking like that.
I don't know. I didn't really live here pre the changeover.
That's true.
But, so I'll have a frame of reference.
But I would say, too, when you kind of think about it, that if class had bad restrooms, it's like, okay, I expect that from a bar like you. But the Odeon's like a pretty decent concert venue. Like bringing in some of the names that they do, so it's like, maybe this shouldn't be a whole shit show. That are just it's on top of the no pun intended. Good catch there, but no, like fucking those restrooms did suck horribly. But then again, I don't know if that's the venue or that's the fans.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah, but see, you don't get treated to the Ronald Two Leg tags that are in the men's room, because they're in almost every venue that AIW runs, even to the fact of I went to the Outpost right before Thanksgiving. I go to take a piss and I look right at his signature and I go, I can't go anywhere without seeing his name.
It's going to haunt you for the rest of your life.
If I was him, I would just tag it every place I go. At this point, the way it has been with all the venues, but I think might have heard someone told him he needs to like knock it off. But yeah, I kind of mentioned it before. I like the venue change, but you know, things I didn't like about it, like aesthetically, when it comes to the Odeon, it just that looks amazing compared to the Shrine with everything on the wall and all that kind of stuff. Like it's memorable, but like
there's a difference of vibes in the venues.
Yeah, and I don't know if AEW is ever going to find a place like the Odeon. I mean, they could go to the Agora, but the Agora has a very big price tag. So understandably, I'm not expecting that to happen. But yeah, I'll miss the Odeon per se, except for, you know, parking and all that shit. But
yeah, that seems to be a pain.
Parking sucked. I was never a fan of how much room there was in the merch area, because you get a particular meet and greet on top of like other wrestlers around there, and then people trying to use the restroom, like, don't even think about if there's a possibility that there's someone there in a wheelchair, because that makes the whole situation even worse. Like,
remember that one time they tried having the after party in that little side room?
God, that was so bad. I thought they did it twice, though.
Did they do it twice?
Well, because the first one had Luke Gallows, like, quote, hosting it. And then supposedly he paid off someone to act like him, like after a certain point. And then I swear they did it one more time, and it just.
I thought they were going to, and they realized that no, it was a bad idea. Let's go like back to an actual bar.
Have you gone to the one, the other after party place, the one on the hill that I can't remember the name of?
The dive bar.
Yeah, the dive bar.
No, I have not. That just doesn't seem like my vibe at all. Speaking of vibes.
All I know is, like, I think I went twice. Once for sure, but I think I went twice. Walking up that hill sucked.
Yeah, it's not a fun hill.
No, especially like after a long day, and then like literally I felt my thighs burning like the second half of it. I was like, God damn, this sucks. And then after that, I didn't really go. But I've always said I'm the kind of person, I like food at the after party. That's why I liked good company and stuff like that, because I want to be able to eat afterwards. There wasn't a kitchen at Dive Bar, so wasn't necessarily for me. Normally, we kind of mentioned meet and greets for this show. There wasn't anything big.
There was no meet to greet. Wait, what?
I mean, depending on what part of the building you're in, you might be able to find some, but
that is a place of God, I think. I don't know. Are they tied to religion?
I think they are, but I'll even make this joke as a Christian. I'm like, oh, let's look at the Catholics and some of the stuff that happened there. So it's possible.
They did serve alcohol there, so I guess anything goes. When you serve alcohol, you can't be held responsible for what happens.
That's true. Yeah, there was no really big stars for this. Just a lot of people just coming back, which great. Like having Janella back, cool. I always like having Swaggle back, especially like knowing his health. He's not someone that's going to do like big spots anymore. Like it's going to be comedy. So I was happy to see him. Also Brian Myers, only like I didn't technically do a meet and greet, but I did, bought some stuff off of Swaggle, got a picture with him and his son, 'cause it was his son's birthday, and I got something signed by, Brian Myers, but nothing huge.
I spent not a dollar at the show. I was proud of myself. I was responsible. After Christmas spending, you know, you gotta keep it tight again.
Not even alcohol?
No.
Did anybody buy alcohol for you?
No, I didn't ask for alcohol. I got water bought for me, so that's different. But I wasn't feeling the vibe with it. I don't know. At that venue, I don't feel the vibe of drinking there.
Yeah, understandable. You don't like deserts, I understand.
I also don't like potentially getting called slurs by the bartender.
I would say that I would shock that that would probably happen, but I'm not. Like, I understand, like, some of the fans in that area in general. Like, I don't know if
that's how it be.
Like, I don't think I've mentioned it before. Maybe I have. I can't remember. But at another company in that same area, I won't exactly mention their name, but when the Von Englands, like, first showed up, there were people there chanting USA, which, okay, but then I kind of wondered, I wonder how many of you have Confederate flags at home. So I don't know if you should be chanting USA, but that's a different story.
It depends where in Ohio you go.
Yeah, the thing is about Akron, it's hit or miss, because I don't think it's necessarily Akron that's the problem. It's some of the towns around Akron that's the problem. And those people travel. But yeah, I can understand your situation there. They all, as far as anybody that I've ever spoke to, any type of interaction with a lot of those workers, they seem to be a little bit judgmental.
Yeah, I could totally see. I could 100% see that.
Like, they like that we're here for the money, but they don't like that we're here because of the people that we all are. Like, they seem to be, like, annoyed, like I said, annoyed assholes.
It's, you know what? They gotta deal with it. So, sucks for them, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I like the shows here. I just sometimes get weird vibes from the venue itself.
I would say, what's the safest venue you feel safe at? But would that be Class?
Class or the Winchester?
Yeah. I forget about the Winchester half the time. Like, I like that venue, but I don't. And it's only because, like, it's a small venue.
Love the vibe of the Winchester.
Did you go to the Outpost or no?
No.
I didn't think you did.
Where was the Outpost?
Kent.
Okay, yeah, that's way too far.
Yeah, because that was the one that was, like, 2 days after, I think that was Russell Razor.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, not a lot of people showed up to that show, and I think, like, the consensus was, like, yeah, there's a lot of shows in a short amount of time. And there was probably, like, a lot of fans, especially, like, ones closer to Cleveland, and was like, nah, I just went to the Winchester. But, yeah, that's the next show is in Kent, and I'm curious how that's going to be, only because it's going to be inside this time.
This time of year, it's probably a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if it was outside this time of year.
I mean, if it was this past weekend, it'd be great. But
we lucked out this weekend.
Yeah, that is something that needs to be highlighted. We were talking about it when I finally got out to the parking lot after the show about, like, there was, like, no snow on the ground, and it was December 30th. And the weekend prior, you know, we had a storm and it was cold.
It was very cold. So cold it knocked out the heat in my apartment. I fixed a furnace. I was very proud of myself.
Good job. I probably couldn't do the same.
It was simple as cleaning something out, but still.
Oh, okay.
I did the work. I made it go from not working to working. That counts as a win in my book.
Yeah, I'd count it. All I remember was, I think it was last Saturday, I went to go fill up, and it was so cold that I don't know how long it took me to, like, fill my tank up, but it felt like the longest, however long that time was in my life. Because all I wanted to do was, like, fill up the tank. And I'm like, oh, my God, hurry up.
Oh, yeah, I made a concerted effort to not deal with the outside at all.
I did that on Friday, Saturday,
Saturday, I was supposed to work, and I kind of just ended up no call, no showing.
Oh, I was supposed to work Friday, and I straight up called off. I was like, especially with me driving as for my job, I'm like, yeah, I don't feel safe.
That's understandable. I just don't want to go out in the cold.
I mean, there's that aspect of it too. I mean, it comes down to, like, for us, it's just safety issues. So I didn't go. So, like, literally that whole day, like, the only times I went outside was to let my dog out.
I also found out, to pretty much get fired at my job, you really just have to punch a customer or, like, that's about it. Maybe stealing. Those are the only two things you do to get fired. So knowing I can get away with anything, I've kind of stopped caring. So I don't want to deal with the cold.
Sometimes that's some of the best, when you just stop caring.
We've gotten way off the tracks, by the way.
This is a life podcast now.
This is a show review, right?
Yeah. We're talking about, well, we trailed off about how the weather was, because, like, the week before it was awful. And then here we are 1 week later and it's great weather. You know, we're all chilling outside and all that. And yeah, so much fun of the weather, like being able to enjoy it.
Oh, for sure.
Weather like that, there could be outdoor shows for, but I don't think we'll technically be that lucky for the Kent show. But it will be inside, and that's a fairly smaller venue. It's going to be a little bit like the Winchester, I think. But
talking about coming shows, I'm excited for this bowling alley show.
That's going to be an interesting day. I'm, for the first time ever for Toyhio, I'm going to try to figure out what I'm going to do for the whole day out there.
I'm going to go bowling is what I'm going to do if I can find a way out there, which I think. Think I'll be out there. I'm going to go bowling.
I mean, there's got to be somebody from Cleveland going out there, right?
Bumpers up or bumpers down is the real question.
It's been a long time since I did bumpers up. And I know I've never talked about this. I don't remember how old I was. I was a little bit older than you would probably think. I did bumper bowling, and I actually like knocked one of the bumpers down and got a gutter ball. So it's like, I got a gutter ball on bumper bowling. Beat that.
You used to like to just like intentionally aim them into the bumpers and see like what kind of ricochet shots we could get. Didn't really help with the bowling at all, but it was, felt cool as a kid.
I've always been so-so with bowling, but that could be an idea, like something to do in the area for that day.
It's in a bowling alley. You might as well go bowling.
Mm-hmm. All I know is I'm going to spend most of the day at Toyhio, get a picture with Danhausen and his wife. I'm not sure after that. Oh, I know what I can do. I can go to some record stores out there because I'm rarely ever in that area, and there's a couple that I want to go to.
I'm sure there's a few around.
Oh, there is. I know there is. There's one that I know that popped up recently in that area, and there's the one in Salem that I've heard good things about. So, yeah, might be not spending as much money at Toyhio so I can spend it elsewhere.
On records.
Yes. I mean, there's potentially going to be records at Toyhio because that's how that shit works. But yeah, and hopefully before then I watch The Big Lebowski because I've never seen The Big Lebowski. Normally that's where people are shocked. Cause
no, I recall seeing it. I'm sure there's plenty of people. I know plenty of people that haven't seen it. It doesn't really, like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a movie that necessarily appeals to everyone. No.
Yeah, maybe. For me, it's never been like it just didn't appeal to me. Like, I kind of remember when it came out. I knew a lot of people that liked it. I've understand some of the references, but just never officially sat down and watched it. It was kind of like almost like a handful of years ago when Stacy kept telling me I need to go watch Bloodsport. Then I finally did, and I loved it.
Do you know they did a sequel? They did, like, this was a few years ago. They did, like, a sequel.
Yes. And I think there's, like, a documentary about the dude, too, or something. Like, not necessarily a sequel movie, but, like, there's some sort of, like, movie about the actual guy.
That's been, yeah.
I haven't jumped down that rabbit hole just yet. Eventually I will. All right. I think that's enough rambling. Let's get into the card.
There's a show that happened.
Yeah. And there's only one place we can start. Show started off with the main event versus Money Shot versus Members Only versus Bang Bros. Here we are. We got the Money Shot. We got Bang Bros. Started off right.
Nope. It's right there. I'm not going to go for it.
Was there a New Year's resolution you had?
Fruit, as they say. Anyways.
I love starting off with this. You normally don't start off with a Money Shot. Normally you end with it, but I'll go there. Low-hanging fruit, I don't care. But, no, nonetheless, like, these four tag teams, you got two, like, bigger tag teams and two smaller dudes, and there's a lot of fight between all of them. And I seriously wouldn't be surprised that in 2023 we see a lot more from Money Shot. That I feel like what I've seen from them in AIW and elsewhere over the past year or so, like, they're starting to build momentum, and we will just see so much more of them.
I was glad to see a main event back, because it's been a while, if I recall.
I feel like it's been Absolution. Yeah, main event's one of my favorite tag teams currently. And to, you know, see them outside of AIW and then, like, eventually get brought in and all that kind of stuff, like, they're two dudes that you would think they would be signed already, but they're not. But that's something that benefits us, the fans of AIW. We get to see more of them. But what were your thoughts on the match?
I enjoyed it. He said this is a good way to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
The tag division is stacked, as you can just tell in this match alone. And this wasn't the only tag match.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, this is a really good way to set the pace for the show.
Or even when you, like, talk about the tag division, like you said, we have these four in this match. We have two other tag team matches. And then there's a good handful that weren't in a match at all. Like, off the top of my head, it's like some of the bigger names. Jollyville Fuck gets into Infinity and Beyond.
Yeah.
Like, they're all there. And I think AIW has always had a really good tag division, but over the past 3-4 years, it's gotten bigger and better. And now, like, people are shining. Like, I didn't expect Bang Bros to necessarily catch on as much as they have in AIW, but, you know, they have, and I want to see more from them.
Oh, for sure. Same.
I don't remember much of this match. I mean, the one thing that I remember that stands out was the moment that members only are across the ring from the main event. Like, two tall dudes, two shorter dudes, like a face-off type thing. I thought that was interesting. I mean, all in all, to start off the show like this, it was probably the easiest decision. It would be this or the scramble, but I think I was more looking forward to this starting off the show than anything, partially because I thought there could have been something in this match that could foreshadow something later in the night. Turns out it didn't, but I think there could be some foreshadowing later on, which I'll mention when we get to it.
Okay.
But there were two things I noticed in the show that it's either absolutely nothing or it's planting seeds for something that could happen, but I still don't know exactly how that thing will happen. Like I said, we'll get to it. Got nothing else on this one?
No, that's everything.
You know, started off with the main event. I think they were the first. Yeah, they were the first to come out. They ended up picking up the win via pinfall. And I feel like this is their first win in a while, too. I mean, granted, we hadn't seen them since Zapso, but I feel like it's been a little while since they picked up a win. And hopefully that's just the beginning for them in 2023. Let's move on to the next one. Wes Barkley versus Brian Myers. And for the match, Brian Myers did dedicate it to the AIW world champion, Matt Cardona.
I don't think that's the right person. You're gonna say the champion.
I'm just a reporter. I'm just going by what Mr. Myers said. I can't confirm or deny the validity of who the champion is. All I know is Matt Cardona is walking around with two championships that look exactly like the Absolute and Intense title. There could be some slight differences.
It could be.
There is one slight difference that I've noticed. There is a spot on what I would consider the original title that's not painted black. And I don't think it's ever been painted black. But on Cardona's, it's black. It's just like a little something.
What a journalist you are.
Well, because I think like going back to Hell on Earth, when he came out with the titles, I was like, did he buy his own? And I was told by somebody in AIW that no, he didn't. That's like, you know, that was actual Derek and Josh's titles. So then earlier this past week or earlier last week when he drops a promo and all of a sudden he has two titles, I'm like, all right, this was shot sometime recently, because there's no way in hell like he took them with him and then is shipping them back up. So I'm like, this motherfucker did what he always does. He wins a title and he has to have a copy of it. Has to have one for his trophy room. Or technically, I think for his office, he has every title he's ever won. And thinking, oh, you win the AIW titles, like you're not gonna get, you know, replicas of those. That's not the SmackDown tag title. That's not the Intercontinental, the United States title. Like that, these are independent championships. No, he clearly went and did that. Should I be surprised? No, but he fucking did it. Yes, but Brian Myers did dedicate the match to, quote, the real AIW world. Actually, he didn't say world. He said absolute intense champion, but Cardona has been calling himself AIW world champion.
I'm glad you put the quotations in there. It's very professional of you.
I did a journalism, as some would say. This match is exactly what I expected from it. Like, I don't care people's real opinion of Matt Cardona. When it comes to Brian Myers, though, he will make anybody look good. Maybe it's because, maybe how long he's been around, or even like, you know, he runs Creative Pro. He's someone who has trained a lot of wrestlers. So he knows people like Wes and Bishop are the future, and he will have a good competitive match with them. And that's exactly what Brian Myers did here. So, like I said, say what you will about Cardona, Brian Myers as a person, stand-up dude in the ring, even better. Like I don't think he's selfish at all. Granted, he has, you know, he went 0-269 on WWE. You know, what's losing a match on the independent scene? But like I said, makes.
Was that the final number, by the way?
That is. We talked about this last week with Charlie, and now that I have a lamp right by it and it's on because I have signed figures from him, and it's from that era. So anytime he signs them, he signs that as Curt Hawkins, and then he puts 0-269. That was the streak.
Wonderful.
I wonder if that was on purpose. Did they purposely end on a 69 number?
Too bad they couldn't get to like 469.
0-469.
469? Yeah. Hell yeah. I am an adult.
Yeah. What's the quote? What's the point of being an adult if you can't be childish sometimes? That's a Doctor Who quote.
But yeah, this match was what it needed to be.
Yeah.
I don't have much else to say about it.
Yeah, Brian Myers made Wes look good. So for Wes now, that's a win over Cardona and Myers both, back to back. And he says he's on like this revenge tour. So that's kind of like why he's had these matches with these two. Like, where does it go next? Depending on what she's doing professionally right now, Chelsea Green might not be available. I don't expect him to go that route, but
he wants to do a revenge on Chelsea Green.
I mean, if we're going back to when he got his head shaved, that's the only other person left.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, probably not. So I'm, far as when it comes to Wes in 2023, I don't know where we're going to start off with him, but two wins over Cardona and Myers? Maybe there's going to, I would think maybe the next thing is him going against Cardona again and quote unquote putting the titles or title on the line, whatever, however you want to look at it.
Do we have to? I don't think we have to do that.
Oh, I don't think it's a have to. For me, I think it's just quote possible, but it almost seems like he's going to go after Cardona again. I think, I mean, when it comes to the whole title situation as a whole, we thought we fixed it, but now we have this. So like it's fixed, but it's not. There's some like, for me, there's a lot of like question marks of what's going to happen next. And as soon as Cardona actually dropped that promo, I was like, okay, we're going forward with this. Like there's going to be more of him calling himself the champion. There's some people out there that thought, you know, like, oh, that didn't mean anything. And it's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, AIW like quote tweeted about it and all this kind of stuff. They didn't like let it go. And then seeing him with the titles, it's like, okay, this is something. What it is, no fucking clue. But yeah, it was Wes Barkley pinning Brian Myers for the win. Let's move on to the next one. PME versus Euthanasia. I think I saw the tweet on Twitter, like it's 2022 and we're watching a match featuring Euthanasia. And I think it's crazy. But M-Dog still looks good. J-Pro doesn't look as good as M-Dog, but still in good shape.
That's an unfair bar, though, to be fair.
That's an unfair bar to a lot of people. But, you know, J-Pro still looks good. And, like, them coming out, matching gear, like, it's just awesome to see. And then going up against, like I said, PME, there was someone in my area that kept saying, wannabe Shawn Michaels. And I was like, which one do you mean for PME? Because I could look at like the athleticism and everything, like that's Marino. That's wannabe Shawn Michaels. Then when I see the chest hair of Philly and remembering some of the chest hair that Shawn Michaels had in his prime, I could see that for him too. So which do you think it was?
It could go, you know, you make a fair point. It could go either way. I don't like being put on the spot like this. I don't know.
I mean, we know they weren't talking about Euthanasia.
What if they were, though? What if they were? Talk about what they're talking about later. Here's HPK. He has his head shaved, and they.
Oh my god.
I'm just saying, you can't like fully rule it out. That's who I'm going with.
Neither of them are cross-eyed.
Yikes.
And I say that as a Shawn Michaels fan. Like, looking at him now and then, like, maybe watching stuff from the mid-90s, I'm like, oh, man. You don't even look like the same dude.
You know, some of us age more gracefully than others.
Like, I've said kind of the same thing about Scott Steiner. Like, look at him from the early mid-90s and look at him, maybe not even necessarily now, but, like, once he hit, like, WCW later on and TNA and there's like later on WWE, like those two versions of Scott Steiner always felt like two different people to me, but no, they're the same dude. But at least like with Scott Steiner, it's like an improvement. Shawn Michaels, it's like, man, he just got old.
That's what happens. He turned into an old man. I don't know what else to tell you.
I mean, yeah. Once you stop doing drugs and find Jesus and fuck your eye up, he looks like Marley from Home Alone. There, I said it. For those who don't know, that's the old man.
Thank you. I do clearly knew what you're talking about, but that's for the audience.
Yes. I didn't make sure. Hey, there's people out there that might not know that his name's Marley. They mentioned it a couple times, but I think people just look at him as, oh, it's you're the old man with the snow shovel. Kind of like, does anybody know the pigeon lady's name in two? Because I don't. I think she says her name, but everybody calls her pigeon lady.
I like to call her PL for short.
Two turtle doves. Any thoughts on this match?
I enjoyed it. PME is always up to semantics. I always love seeing what they are. Ever since like the last year, they've been incredibly fun to watch. And this was more of this, and I worked really well with Euthanasia.
It happened on your side of the ring.
There's so many hijinks on my side of the ring.
It makes sense because you were on the hard cam side, but did did Marino give something to Philly?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can either confirm nor deny.
Did it look like something? I mean, we'll just say, if you could...
I don't know, it could have just been a really, really strong punch. I'm just saying. He's pretty strong.
It was one of those things from, like, our corner of the ring. I didn't see really anything except for a punch. And clearly, like, Philly, like, throwing something in his tights. But I didn't see him grab anything. I didn't see him put anything on.
The world may never know.
There's not video evidence out there at all. Josh Prohibition hasn't tweeted about it.
Don't look into it.
Don't do a journalism. We've promoted it on this show, but this is one of those times that you just need to take our word for it.
You're going to have a bad time if you look into it. Just trust us.
Yeah, but it was Philly pinning J-Pro for the win, giving the win for PME. And there was a question that something was used because Josh Prohibition was like knocked out for a little while. And it seems like at some point there's going to be a street fight. I'm wondering if that's going to be in Youngstown.
That would be fitting. If we're gonna, there's a chance for to have a street fight that breaks out in a bowling alley. I don't know how this arena is connected or how everything's connected in this building, but the potential is there.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Filthy Tom Lawler versus Shaw Mason. What are your thoughts on Shaw Mason?
I think he has a lot of potential. Still clearly very young, like very, very new to it, but he seems to be taking it on pretty well.
We got to mention the highlight of the pre-match.
How do corkscrews work?
Well, we'll get there first. Filthy Tom came out with two bottles, and I thought the way he was miming it on stage that like there was nothing in it. And the one like, oh, I didn't realize there was nothing in it. But we come to find out after Shaw comes out that the bottle of champagne, the cork broke off. Only wondering how old that bottle is or how cheap it was. One of the two. But Filthy was looking for someone in the crowd that could open it. He didn't come out and say corkscrew. Like, does anybody have a corkscrew? It was, who can open this up? Funny thing is, I do have a corkscrew, but it was in my car. I do keep a Swiss Army knife in my car. I've always loved that as a knife. But I wasn't going to run out to my car and grab it because by the time everything... I went out there and would have went out there and came back. I would have missed shit and it would have been open. But the whole kind of part of the joke that was supposed to be is like, well, here's this alcohol because, we're celebrating the new year with the champagne. But Shaw, you're not old enough. So here's a sparkling grape juice for you.
Is he actually that young?
Mm-hmm. I want to say he's 20. Maybe he's not 21 yet. Yeah, like he graduated high school not that long ago. But I didn't catch all of it. I think I either looked away or something, but like right as I turned back when they finally got it open, like that fucker flew. And there's a lot of things I could say, but I know Marcy would laugh at whatever word I use.
I already am, so
it shot really far. Like you would expect with champagne, but just like this happening out of nowhere. I don't even know what they used to open it.
Well, thankfully, no one lost an eye.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was worried about, too. And the dude who got it open got a grape juice and champagne shower. Shout out to Razor Sharp for running out there with the mop right afterwards and mopping everything up.
Ever so diligent.
What are your thoughts on this match?
I enjoy it. Like I said, I think Mason has, he's in such a short amount of time, he's come a long way. I enjoyed their first match from Razor. So this was a nice way, this is a good match to build off of that.
I do feel like Filthy, even in defeat with Shaw Mason, like made Shaw look good. There's this competition level with those two that I was really wondering who was winning. I wanted Shaw to win, but like figured Filthy would maybe kind of pray that there would be this like really crazy upset. But even the story they told in the ring, there were moments that it kind of seemed like Shaw was going to pull it off.
Oh, for sure.
So unfortunately for Shaw, much like last time, Filthy Tom pinned him for the win. Let's move on to the next one. Matt Justice versus Joey Janela. And this match was a tribute to the Odeon era of AIW. So it was held under intense rules of any match. This is the one that if it was the same match at the Odeon, it would have been so insane. And you know, there probably would have been one balcony spot. Like it would have been
1,000,000%.
It would have been the perfect bookend. The first Odeon show has a balcony spot. The last balcony Odeon show has a balcony spot. Like, and these two like went fucking crazy. Like,
hell yeah, they did. Even Fonzie.
yes, Fonzie bleeding.
I'm pretty sure I saw Fonzie almost bleed on a child.
It's possible, especially at this show.
So it was the second show where I had to avoid where I stepped to not get my shoes dirty. So that's how it is sometimes, though.
Yeah, you might want to have like AIW specific shoes from now on.
Look, at least this time it wasn't the nice boots.
Ah, yes. Because you would almost think with some of these, it's like somebody's bleeding, and you look like if Matt Justice is on the show half the time, if Derek's on the show, if Bishop's on the show. If Joey Janela's on the show, oh, I think all of them bled too.
It's a good time. It's always a good time. But, it's just something you have to be aware of where you put your feet in the AIW show.
They obliterated kendo sticks on each other. They obliterated some folding chairs to the point of how the first one broke. It looked like the chair had arms.
I know what you mean.
If anybody's seen that, you probably know exactly what I mean too, but these were like perfectly working chairs. Like I think some of the ones I'm thinking of were like they were being used ringside by AIW staff. They get pulled away and, a minute or two later, they're just scrap. And even with those kendo sticks, it's like they were swinging for the fences and just beating the shit out of each other. This was 100% what it was advertised to be, the tribute to the Odeon era. And it sucks that it couldn't be in the Odeon, but
yeah.
I felt the spirit of it, and it was fucking crazy.
It was a wild one, for sure.
I did realize after this one, though, because this show, I think, was fairly long, like longer than like we've had shows in a little while. But I was like, yeah, like we're going to intermission after this because they got to clean all this shit up.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, this match, did it have? Oh, yeah, with this match and a match later on, like we actually had real tables.
Yeah, that's been a while.
Oh, and wasn't this the table spot where the table didn't break at first?
Yeah.
Those suck. Not like, oh, boo, you didn't break it. It's like, no, you just think of how bad that probably hurts and everything. That's where I'm like, oh, that shit sucks. But...
Good way to send everyone into intermission.
Yeah, it was Matt Justice pinning Joey Janela for the win. And like we said, after that, we did go to intermission. And we came back with this one, which if you're going to have the first half start with the tag match, got to have the second half start with this one. We had our scramble match of Swoggle versus Sam Holloway versus Austin James versus Jocelyn Navarro versus Chase Oliver. And then it was supposed to have the six man being Uncle Chase Barnett, something happened. Not sure what, but Jeffrey John took his spot, and he was in the match. So
the power of the babushka.
I do love Jeffrey John, but I think he's hit or miss with people. I've heard fans bitching about him before, but I don't know. I'm like Young Ed. I like the guy.
You know, okay, so I was still in the bathroom by the time we came back from intermission, because once again, there was a line. And when I got back, I said to my partner, I noticed that the babushka guy was there. It put a smile on my face. I don't know why.
Me too. But then I did go, because he wasn't the last one to come out, but it was like, who's not here? So I was going in my head of like who I remember seeing, and I'm like, Uncle Chase is the only one I don't think I've seen today.
Must have thrown out a hip or something.
Or he broke his cane and, you know, couldn't come. they had a marathon of Murder, She Wrote. Is that, would we say that's like the typical old people show now? Or is that like the typical old people show from 20 years ago? Like there needs to be a newer old people show.
Probably one of those, like, is it like NCIS? Is that like an old person show yet? Or does it just seem like it is?
I was going to say JAG.
Is that even still like on reruns or anything?
I have no idea.
See, we're not weird in between period. We're not old enough to know.
Yeah. Because like when I think of old people show, I think of either Murder, She Wrote or Golden Girls. But Golden Girls over the past 5 to 10 years has had a resurgence and a lot of younger people, and I say like people around our age, thoroughly enjoy it. So like the only thing old about it is just the people in it are, the characters are old.
Yeah.
But it's not like an old person show.
Certainly not.
I think we have to go really old. Like, oh, there was a marathon of the Andy Griffith Show on, so.
So this was a scramble match that happened.
Yes. A lot of great shit.
Oh, yeah.
I loved seeing Swoggle try to choke slam Sam Holloway. He really tried.
He did his best.
What else? There was the spot, and I don't exactly remember what it was, where Swoggle's son came in. Oh, he gave, it was it right after that when he gave Sam Holloway a stunner?
I think so.
He gave someone a stunner, and like that popped me. And that's the second time Landon has been used in a wrestling show. I think at the time was a Black Label Pro. But yeah, I got nothing else from here. I did spend like half the match trying to find Jeffrey John's Twitter handle as well as Sam Holloway's, because they weren't showing up as easy. And I follow both of them, so it was me getting frustrated with Twitter. But things that I will say, please have Swoggle back more comedy stuff. I think it's great. Jeffrey John, please have him in more matches next year.
More babushka.
I can never say as, you know, enough good things about Jocelyn Navarro. She's amazing. And I think this was a big win for Sam Holloway, too.
Yeah, he's a very, yeah. I had a thought, and then, you know, when you get a thought, and then you just kind of, you lose it as it's starting to come out. That was the moment I had.
I have the moments where I'm going to say something, and then for one quick moment, I think of something else. And then when I go back to what the original thought was, it's gone. And like, even in that moment, I'm like, oh, don't forget this, but there's this. Fuck, what was the original thing?
It's fine. I'm sure. I assume you'll fix it in editing. I assume you'll present me in the best light possible.
How much am I getting paid?
Fair enough.
But it was Sam Holloway pinning Jeffrey John for the win, and
he looked very impressive.
He did.
That's the point I was trying to get across. He looked very impressive in this win.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. Rest of the show, nothing but championship matches. And we start off with the Bitcoin Boys versus Bulking Season for the AIW Tag Team Championships. And I do feel like this crowd was a little split. And at some points, too, it felt like there was way more Bitcoin Boy fans than there were Bulking Season fans.
Yeah, it's as one of those people, yes.
I genuinely like both tag teams. But what I wanted to see more than anything was Bitcoin boys become champions. I mentioned something earlier in the night, or earlier in the show about earlier in the night, where there was something that I noticed, and it's something that I also have thought could happen in the future in AIW. Now I feel like it's either completely nothing, or they are slowly planting seeds of something that's coming up. And that's at the end of the first match of the night, when Money Shot is going back to the back, they say something to the Duke. I don't know what it is. I haven't gone back and watched it. I don't know if it's picked up. I don't even know if it's just like them introducing themselves to him, but I saw that. And then during the introductions, or when when Bitcoin boys come out, Money Shot are still at their merch tables, and they could see Bitcoin, and they were like waving at the Duke. So does Bitcoin boys eventually team up with Money Shot? Does like Duke Money expand to having two teams under his wing? Or, you know, eventually if Bitcoin boys drop the ball, is that going to be the next investment? I don't know which one.
Just gotta let it play out.
Yeah. But I think that could be nothing. I literally think I could just be looking at meaningless interactions, but only time will tell. But like I mentioned about like the crowd being divided, but there were, like I said, there were times where the Bitcoin boy fan base was very loud, and it felt like they were the hometown favorites. Technically, nobody was a hometown favorite, but they have the backing. And I've said since J-Lit, Bitcoin boys have had a lot of support from the crowd. And
oh yeah,
I don't know if that's like, if there's more family members out there, or it's just more people are liking Bitcoin boys. But yeah, they fucking showed out.
Hell yeah, they did.
Any thoughts on this match?
Yeah, so this is one of the matches I think I was excited for the most. Funny enough, a few weeks ago on the IW Guide, when we did our review of Hell on Earth, I think me and Butters were talking about the tag title scene and who we wanted to see champions. We both said Bitcoin boys. So it's kind of nice to see this come to fruition here.
During that actual show, during Hell on Earth, I think I tweeted from my personal account that like I hope 2023 is a big year for Bitcoin boys. I wasn't expecting, you know, them to have a title shot at this show at that point, because there had been the thing going on for a long time of like, oh, Bitcoin boys need a title shot. They've got all these wins and everything, but like they're never given a shot. So I kind of figured like, oh, you know, just continue kind of for a little while longer. No, they get this match and they end up winning. Spoiler alert, it was Bitcoin boys winning via pinfall to become the new AIW tag team champions. But
it was exciting to be there live.
It was exciting to be there live and really close to Young Ed.
I was on the opposite side of him, but I also lost my shit for this.
Yes. I am someone that likes to take picture of people's reactions to stuff. So I took like some of his reactions like immediately. I think even before I took a picture of like what was in the ring, I took a picture of him first to get that raw, genuine emotion from him. And yes, he was thrilled. The AIW crowd was thrilled. Like this wasn't like a bad moment for them. Like not bad moment. Like, you know, people weren't booing. You figure, you know, bulking season who, you know, when they won, it was a huge moment. So you figure when they lose, like, you know, that's going to make some people sad. Like there was a tag team a few years ago that cashed in their Chandler Biggins Memorial Tournament shot and lost it. Well, they won the cash in, but lost the first defense. And I remember being people being real pissed about that one. But here's bulking seasons, handful of months later. Fuck it, Bitcoin boys. They win. They love it.
People wanted the Bitcoin boys. That's all there is to it.
And the kind of cool thing about this is I don't think we've seen the last of Bitcoin boys versus bulking season. This has been a feud that's been going on for a while, whether it's, you know, they were part of the same graduating class, or there's just been a number of tag team matches between them. But Bitcoin boys pulled this one off, and I'm extremely happy for them. Like I said earlier, I hope 2023 is a big year for them. I want to see them get out more together. I know Mikey is getting out more and even, you know, doing like more tag matches with Ziggy, which is great.
I know they also were on the last Enjoy taping as well.
Mm-hmm. And supposedly that match was really good. I've heard good stuff about. I want to get out to an Enjoy show next year. Or this year now, because we're in 2023.
We are. It's weird to say that, but yeah, we are. Oh, for sure, and that's the same plan for me.
As long as Mike Bailey's there and Veda. I figure Veda could definitely be there, but if Speedball's booked too, hands down, I'm there. It all just depends on timing and everything for me. Like, I know with this last taping for Enjoy, it was the same day as the Browns were playing, and I have commitments around the Browns, so couldn't exactly go. Now, if they would have rescheduled that game or scheduled that game for a Sunday, it would have been a different story. Any other thoughts on the Bitcoin Boys being the new AIW Tag Team Champions?
No, like I said, I'm really happy about this. I'm glad I got to be there live for it.
And at least with this last show of the year, too, we had, not getting into any spoilers from later, but we now had at least one title change. And sometimes, like, it's good to have those surprise moments, because I wasn't 100% sure that that title change was going to happen. All right, let's move on to the next one. Next up, we got Kaplan versus Derek Dillinger for the AIW Intense Championship. And as always, Ziggy gets in this match and fucking gets thrown, gets knocked out. Like that hit from Kaplan looked vicious.
Yeah, it did.
Any thoughts on this mad match? Because it seemed like this could have potentially tried to rival Janela Justice, but that turned to be the main event. But
they did their own thing in this match. It was still like still some sick chair shots in this match as well.
God, some of these chair shots give me a legit headache. Like just thinking of the same thing happening to you, just ugh.
But yeah, no, this is just another like wild brawl. It was all about it.
And
this is another match where the action came very close to me again.
I don't think any action really came close to where we were. Like everything either happened on your side of the ring or the same side as I was on, just the other corner.
I feel bad for whoever sat behind me. I kind of definitely preemptively like slid my chair back anticipating something was about to happen.
I always find that to be understandable because like when you're literally the first layer of defense...
Help!
But
it's
basically
my deal.
Like, I'm almost always front row. And the amount of times I have had, like, a guardrail, like, hit my knee, or wrestlers just kind of, like, fly on top of me, it's been a lot. There was, I can't remember the show, but there was one match where I felt like something was about to come towards me. So I, like, put a lot of my weight in my feet, but I wasn't like sitting up yet. I just kind of like leaned forward. And like, as soon as like it was happening, I just like bounced up like, nope. But yeah, story that I even told at this show with some people, it was one of the old Turner's Hall shows where I couldn't tell you the exact show and I couldn't tell you the exact match, but a friend of mine was sitting front row with us and he like leaned forward to like pick up something or whatever it was, just leaned kind of forward to where his head was right there. And the action came like right there and bounced the guardrail into his head.
Oof.
Yeah. Like, that sucked. But yeah, this was pure madness. And I do want to highlight Ziggy wore an old Jinx shirt. For those who don't know, that was her previous name before she changed it to Ziggy Heim. And I did ask her about it later on because I was like, I love that you came out with a Jinx shirt on. And she was like, yeah, I still had some. Unfortunately, like I made these like not long before the name change. So I still happen to have some like stock sitting around. I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like, I mean that you were able to like wear it. And like, she's really proud of the whole Jinx thing because that was her testing a lot of stuff out and she learned a lot from it. And now she's Ziggy Heim and she's even crazier. And I do believe she said that she might get those remade under Ziggy Heim, like get some things altered and all that kind of stuff and have a new run of it. But we'll see how that goes. Yeah. So yeah, there's just this match, like we said, was absolutely crazy. What you expect from both of these individuals. And
I think it's great that this is what you get from the Intense title matches. And that's kind of been Derek's deal through this whole run. it's going to be no matter what, it's going to be a wild brawl. So yeah, having this the match with Kaplan, just it works so well, and they do their thing.
And I feel like we're not done with these two. Like, I'm not saying they're going to have like a rematch next show, but you know, by summer we will probably see this match one more time.
You can always go back to it. It's always there.
They're two of the craziest individuals on the roster. I mean, there's definitely other people too, especially one in the main event. But yeah, there's easily going to be another reason why Kaplan gets another title shot, but we'll see how that goes. It was Derek pinning Kaplan to retain the AIW Intens title. Let's move on to the main event. Isaiah Broner versus Joshua Bishop for the AIW Absolute Championship. And this, it was 100% appropriate of like how you end the year 2022 in AIW, because these were two of the biggest, baddest men on the roster all year.
Oh, yeah.
So giving Broner a title shot made 100% sense to me. Did Bishop knock your hand real hard, or did you not put your hand out?
No, I didn't put it out in time. I hit myself up and then did it too late after he passed by me. It's really embarrassing.
I put my fist out, and normally, you know, he does like a really hard fist bump. This time he did more of a like a fist smash, and he like totally missed my fist and hit more of my wrist. So that's like a little more going down in one spot. I'm like, motherfucker! Actually, I think he hit my watch too. But
and now no longer works.
Oh no, it works. But that would suck. I think I thought about that afterwards. Like, what if he would have fucking like broke it? And I'm not talking like a regular wristwatch. I have an Apple Watch, so a smart watch. And fuck, that would have sucked.
You can't put out your Apple Watch hand. That's the lesson here.
Yeah, I'm going to put up my right hand from now on.
Glad we could figure this out. The proper fist. You need to know which the proper fist pumping hand should be.
But yeah, this match kind of rivaled that of Janela and Justice.
Oh, it did. They were going at it.
There were doors. There were tables.
So many doors.
Or there was a table. We had a 2-table limit on the show, and one per match.
It's, you gotta keep it special, obviously.
But yeah.
But there were so many broken doors.
Like in this and the previous match I mentioned, when doors become like weapons, like after you break them and you pick up like just a part of it and hit somebody with it, and sometimes when like it's not even just that one piece, like it's like, all right, I'm going to hit you with this piece. I'm going to grab this one and hit you with this piece. And fucking crazy. Thoughts on this match?
Yeah, this is a good way to end the show. I was really hoping for Broner, like, because Broner's been on such a roll. I was hoping that this is going to be his moment, but it's not yet.
Well said. Of this wasn't his moment yet. I think he needs to have some moment. I would love to see him become champion, but I don't know how. There was an idea that I kind of threw around that I kind of wanted to see, but we don't know what's going to happen like within the title pictures because of the whole Cardona shit. But hypothetically, let's say Cardona and Bishop have a match for the absolute title. I don't know how Derek gets involved or how he gets his title. I don't even say back, but you know, where he's like undisputed intense champion.
Cardona is just really scared of Derek and Ziggy. That's all you have to say. And it's probably true.
I believe it. But imagine if Cardona and Bishop have some sort of match to figure out who the rightful champion is. Unfortunately, to a lot of fans, Cardona wins. But let's say this match is after Jaylit and Broner wins Jaylit. So you have that moment of like, ha ha ha, I just beat your fucking champion, Josh Bishop. I'm the deathmatch king. No one fucking beats me, and then out comes Broner and
beats the shit out of him.
I don't even say beats the shit, flattens him. Just bell ring, clothesline, done. Like, I think that would be a huge moment for Broner, and I would love to see it because there would be that pop as soon as he comes out, because we all know what's going to fucking happen. Cardona's going to have a fucking problem. but I don't know what's going on with the title picture. We obviously don't know, you know, does Broner win Gauntlet? Does he win Jaylet? Does he win neither of them? Only time will tell, but I definitely want this to be an even bigger year for Broner. Give him a title. Maybe he's the one that beats Derek.
Then yeah, I could see that.
You have Jocelyn have his back for Ziggy, but we'll see what unfolds in 2023. Any other thoughts on this match?
No, yeah, I really, like I said, this is a good amount of chaos to end the year on. And this is a year endable amount of chaos in this match.
It was Joshua Bishop pinning Broner to retain the AIW Absolute Championship, but we're not done yet. Bishop got on the mic and he issued another open challenge for when AIW returns to Akron in February. Curious to see where this was going. And then I happened to notice here's a Filthy Tom Lawler walking through the crowd, jumps over the guard railing and, you know, basically tells Bishop that he has unfinished business with him, which is 100% true. For those who don't know, it was Bishop that beat Filthy Tom Lawler for the Absolute title. It was short lived only because Matt Justice cashed in. And that's how we got the, you know, a dual champion for quite a while. But he never got any type of rematch. And like Wes Barkley, you know, interfered on Bishop's behalf. So, yeah, he's out for blood here. And I'm guessing that's what we're going to see in February. And they ended up having like a brawl like everywhere, like in the ring. Tried to have a staff come out and break them up, but it wasn't easily done. How do you feel about Bishop and Filthy?
I'm excited to see it. It'll be a good. I'm assuming it's gonna be the main event for February.
Oh yeah, I feel like AIW is fairly good about giving the champion the main event spot, unless like there's reasons why it's not happening, like Jaylet Night 2. You know, even though there was a title defense, who did Bishop go up against that night? I can't remember who. Do you remember?
It was against Alec Price.
I know. I was handing that one to you.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, like that wasn't going to be the main event for that night. Also, like I remember Absolution 10, the Absolute title match didn't main event, but it's only because you had a star-studded main event that like it made the most sense to have the most expensive match in AIW history to be the main event. So yeah, I would say that almost has to be the main event for the February show.
It'll be fun to see how that card takes shape.
And that's the thing too. Like normally AIW kind of starts late, but we have Kent in January and then we have back-to-back weekends, Akron show in Youngstown.
It's going to be a busy, busy couple weekends.
Yeah, before you know it, they're going to start announcing March, April.
Do you think everything's going to go back into the regular schedule now?
I honestly hope so.
Like Gauntlet should be March.
Rap show, April. Like, for a while, the rap show was like right around 420. And I think I even suggested like one of those. The one that was actually on 420 should have been called like Up in Smoke, but they didn't go that route. That or I always thought, all right, for a rap show, you know, they're normally named after like obviously rap albums or songs. Wouldn't necessarily be the same thing, but would you name a show Friday?
I mean, why not? Especially, it'd be fun if you didn't run it on a Friday and you called it Friday.
That'd be hilarious. But yeah, I think the only thing will never go back to normal is Jaylet. With it being Memorial Day weekend, I think that's always now going to be just not May, not Memorial Day weekend.
That's going to be a summer thing now.
I think that might get moved to after Absolution, because it to have like Gauntlet for the Gold and then 2 months later have Jaylet, and then literally like the show right after Jaylet almost all the time was Apso. So this kind of like spreads it out, and I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if someone is going to eventually win Jaylet and hold it till Absolution, like hold it like almost a whole year. But yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of stuff that's got to happen. I wish I would get a schedule update, but since the shit happened with Odeon, I don't necessarily know what's going on. Because at least last year, coming into 2022, I had a full calendar and I was able to like figure out shit for the year.
Yeah, it's, if any changes kind of suck, but hopefully they get something figured out.
All right, that was the show. Any final thoughts or last minute plugs before we go?
Yeah, thank you again for having me on. Appreciate it so much. You can find me on Twitch and Instagram at eGirlFanboy, boy spelled B-O-I. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/eGirlFanboy. You can listen to me on one of my two podcasts, X-Over or Independent Wrestling Guide. They're all available on every podcast, basically wherever you get them. You can just find them. I think that's everywhere you can find me. Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it so much.
It was great to have you on again. And looking at some tweets here, because just going off the Twitter feed, we forgot to mention Swoggle about dying off the stage.
Oh, yeah. I was in the waiting in line in the bathroom, so I missed this.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching it live. I was like, oh, shit. And the funny thing is, because obviously people won't 100% get the reference, like you're going to get part of it. We all know about the Shockmaster.
Yeah.
Well, there was a joke on through the Major Wrestling Figure podcast. I think it was a live show I went to is when they did it, where it was kind of a Star Wars theme, and they had Swoggle come out with a Stormtrooper helmet, like glittered green. So he was the Swogmaster. And the joke was made after seeing this video or GIF that, oh, it's the Swogmaster. I'm like, oh my God, he did do this Shockmaster thing, like, you know, tripping and like falling and everything. Granted, he didn't go through a wall or anything, but like it was kind of the same thing. And I'm happy he's okay, but it was kind of funny at the time. But of course, you can find myself at jsummers330 on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and Hive, much like you can find the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose to desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. And like I said earlier in this show, please rate, review, and subscribe your ever-listen-this fine podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. And all of those links can be found through the Linktree link in the podcast notes. Check out our podcast friends, such as Pod Van Dam, Super Fantastic Podcast, It's Evolution Baby, The IndieCast, Sobros Network, Biff Radio, GameWorks Podcast, Power Bob Jitsu, Power Driver Podcast, Fully Posable, Positively Pro Wrestling, Indie Wrestling Guide, If You Catch My Grift, At Odds With Wrestling, Marks With Mics, Juggalo Rewind, X-Over, This Ends At Prom, and Porch Talk. And check out our other non-podcasting friends, such as The Mystery Men, Redline Radio, Mouse's Wrestling Adventures, VHS Party Tonight on Instagram, Danger Zone Video in Joliet, Tennessee, Heart of Gold, Toy Hire Toy Show, Time Capsule Toys, Smoke and Jay's Barbecue, JCP Designs, Midwest Territory, Southern Underground Pro, and the official graphic designer of Wrestling Cheers, Moy Boy Designs. That will do it for us here on Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And we need more adult-themed tag team names. Later.
Do something with femboys. We need more femboys in wrestling. That's what I want for 2023.
Do it, fuckers. Later.
It's the Wrestling Cheers. Get up on your feet, brightening your day in the middle of the week. And you gotta love the show. Yeah, you know it holds a title for the best podcast talking wrestling in Ohio. Finishing a cold one, take a load off. We ain't all about the prohibition like Josh. So we cheers and then we sit back. Other shows are in the trash, kinda like they Nick Stapp. Like the name is Matt Justice, wearing all the gold. Wrestling Cheers is coming to a close. The number one podcast going in the game. And one day everybody's gonna know the name. It's the Wrestling Cheers. This is Platinum Max, signing off. Ohio, good night. The world, good night. We love you, we'll see you next week.